Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Digital Marketing Agency Builders Podcast. In this show, we discuss the rapidly advancing digital marketing industry and how to grow a profitable marketing agency with some of the best minds in the space. Since 2015, Tyler Narducci has been building and scaling his own digital agency, helping businesses grow and market their services and products through online advertising. Now, he's helping other startup digital agencies launch and scale rapidly to six figures with the Done For You Agency Program. If you are interested in taking your agency to the next level and skip all those painful mistakes most have to make by learning directly from those killing it in the digital agency space, then apply now at dfy-agency-program.com/scale. That's dfy-agency-program.com/scale. There will be a clickable link in the podcast show notes below. Now, let's dive into today's episode.
Welcome, everybody, to the next episode of the Digital Marketing Agency Builders Podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Narducci, and today I have with me Joe Ardizer. Joe is a former digital agency owner of 12 years and has the battle scars to prove it. He's worked with notable brands such as Bluetooth, T-Mobile, and Scantron, and he's built his agency from just him to a team of 12. After selling his agency, Joe decided to take his passion for sales and proposal writing and create Smart Pricing Table, an interactive proposal software that cuts down on the back and forth, incorporates upsells, and helps generate proposals at lightning speed. Joe, I'm super thankful that you joined us here on the show today, and I'm excited to dive in on all things proposals. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me, Tyler. I'm excited to talk as well.
Let's do it. So first, I guess, let's talk about what your agency, what it was like growing an agency to that size. You went from just you to 12 people.
Yeah, well, I started just myself. I didn't want to have a normal corporate job. And long story, I won't get into the details, but I actually got some repetitive stress injury, like carpal tunnel stuff, that forced me to hire someone. And I remember picking up a desk one day at IKEA, and it hit me as I was leaving the store. The mission is continuing, but I'm gone. At that time I was hooked. Over the years, just continued to hire. I loved hiring key positions like a project manager, a salesperson. Those are really milestones in running an agency. And I learned how to be a good salesperson, and I learned I like to say that my agency was kind of my master's in business. It was a fantastic experience.
For sure. So many people get an MBA and they go to school thinking that like they're going to learn the ins and outs of business and entrepreneurship. And I feel like that's so hard to teach. Like it's just something that you have to experience and learn like in real time, which is why for most entrepreneurs, college these days is just not worth anywhere near the amount of debt that a lot of us end up in. Like if I had to go back, I liked my college degree for the social aspect of it. Like I got a ton of like life experience from it, but I'm so thankful I didn't end up going to like a private school because I thought that I needed to go to a certain school or have, certain honors programs. Cause you don't get that experience anywhere else, but in the field getting carpal tunnel and buying IKEA couches.
Well, and it's failure builds intuition, right? When I like the idea of eating concrete, right? It's in business where you fall on your face and you learn a really hard lesson. And that builds intuition. You can get some of that in formal education, but I think it really sticks. It gets under your skin when you experience those things first person.
Yeah. And it makes you tougher. And for the right entrepreneurial mind, it drives you forward. For someone that's not really meant to be an entrepreneur, when you start experiencing those failures, you're out. You're like, oh, I don't know how to do it. I'm doing it wrong. Right. This sucks. I'm going back to get a job. But that's kind of like the make and break between a real entrepreneur and someone who's just kind of testing it out, but it's not really right for them. Is, the failure is like, no, let me do it again and get it right this time. Because now I learned a ton on why I failed. Let me fix that and then succeed the next time. It's that,
yeah.
That split.
You kind of sound like you're talking E-Myth, Tyler. You heard the E-Myth book?
No, what's E-Myth?
He talks about, it's a great book for agencies too. But he talks about a lot of entrepreneurs will, they're working, let's say, for an electrician company, and their boss is a jerk, and they're like, he's making all this money, I'm going to quit and start my own thing. And they get into it and they realize that they have no time to do the electrical work that they liked, their trade.
Yeah.
And what they have to actually do, this is the transition from an individual contributor to an entrepreneur, is you have to fall in love with business building. Right?
Yeah.
And he says in the book, look, so many people thought they needed to start a business when really they just need to find a nicer boss.
That's so true. And you're so right for it, that's especially true for digital marketing agencies, because so many marketing agencies are born from digital marketers doing ads themselves or doing social media marketing themselves, right? And when I started my agency, that's what I was doing. I had, you know, 5 clients, all me doing everything, and I was completely burnt out, right? And then you learn that you need to bring in contractors, you need to bring in employees, you need to start bringing in people to do this work for you. And quickly, your role is no longer the doer. It is the manager, making sure the bills are paid, making sure the clients are happy, and overseeing the whole thing, which is completely different from actually doing that thing that you may have loved, which would be Facebook ads or social media.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. I'll have to check that book out. It sounds like I actually very much agree with it.
Yeah.
Joe, so after your agency, you launched a software called Smart Pricing Table. Can you tell us how Smart Pricing Table came to be and what experiences led you to create that software?
Yeah, well, I was using, so at my agency, we were creating proposals all the time, of course. And I was using one of the big box providers. It was a good solution. It's one of the biggest leaders today still.
Mm-hmm.
But my challenge with it was, you know, most of the time what would change with our projects was the price and the scope. And that was it. Everything else would stay the same. And yet the pricing table in the software was not doing it for me. It would, I had a template and I duplicate it and I'd have to delete a bunch of rows in the table and customize, and it'd take a minute to load the darn thing. And I just thought, man, there's gotta be a better way to basically build a scope of work. There's gotta be a better way. So we ended up creating our own in-house scope of work generator, and it worked so well. The idea was we would then, you know, import that back into the proposal software we were using, but it worked so well, and it wasn't that much more effort to make it a full proposal system that we ended up doing that. And I just had an amazing time. So many surprises that we stumbled onto, and really, I didn't realize it, but I was trailblazing basically a agency or a marketing agency specific proposal software back in the day. We absolutely killed it. I was able to outsource most of my sales to a sales person that I hired instead of having to do it as a CEO. And about 2 years ago, decided to take it to the market finally. It's my full-time thing. I absolutely love it. Love talking to agencies and, uncovering the secrets to what so many people disdain doing, which is proposal writing.
Yeah. Proposal writing has always been, I work with hundreds of agency owners, and, it's always a sticking point because, you know, when you have good sales momentum and, you know, the client is engaged and everything, if you then break that sales momentum to then go and build this big proposal that could take, you know, hours and lots of time and effort, just that injecting that little bit of time that it took you to do that into the process can lose the deal. So it can be really frustrating. So that's where I think a lot of people look to software to kind of settle that. But, that's just the time it takes to create a good proposal, is one of many challenges. But what do you think are some of the other big challenges, in the space of, I guess, proposal writing for agencies?
Yeah, there's a handful that come to mind. One of them is we don't know what we're selling ourselves. I love that saying. If there's a project manager told me this years ago, he said, if there's a mist in the pulpit, there's a fog in the congregation. And the point is if you don't know what you're selling, your client has no freaking clue, right? And for so many agencies, they, you have to slow down to speed up. If you don't define what you're actually offering to your prospect, all sorts of different problems can come from that. Client misunderstandings are ripe, right? Because again, if you don't even know, how in the world will they know? And then a lot of times, I think a lot of your listeners can identify with this. Like you're kind of left in this spot where I have to arbitrarily say this work is done and kind of be a jerk, or I'm at their mercies and I'm going to make minimum wage, right? Or less, because there's no laws on that, right? Your agency can make less than minimum wage. So those are some big ones. I'd also say, we're not charging enough, giving away too much value, but I think a lot of that can also come from not thinking critically about what we're actually selling. And I'd love to get into some specifics today.
Yeah,
But
let's do it.
if your scope gets inflated because you weren't clear and you don't have handles to grab onto, there goes your margins, right? And margins are often connected to morale. Margins suffer, CEO suffers, leader suffers. But then that also translates down to your team. And then the last one I'd say, I would hit on the time thing too. I think so many agencies, a lot of times with smaller agencies, the CEO is writing proposals still, right? And they can just take so much time because we're often reinventing the wheel. We come to it and it's like hazy, like. It's like writing content for your website. You're like, I'm going to push this off. And I think that can stifle the momentum, as you talked about. It can, maybe your competitor's going faster. And so they have an edge all of a sudden. And I also just think, like, as far as time goes, a lot of times for CEOs, it's like, I have a hard time getting 15 freaking minutes. Right, to deal with this employee issue, let alone the 3 hours that this proposal should actually require. And so what do? We take shortcuts, and unfortunately, scope creep then just abounds. So those are some of the big pain points that I've seen.
So I think one of the big challenges in creating, even with an amazing software that can create it really for you, but just with inputting, the information. Before you get to that point, you have to know, like you said earlier, you have to know what you're selling and how much you're selling it for, right? So getting that, your offer and your pricing together, I think is a really critical element before you can move through the proposal process with ease. So do you have any advice for our listeners on getting that all together, whether it's, I guess just knowing what for example, if you're managing ads, like we will manage ads between $0 and $10,000 in spend for X amount of cost. And if you go above $10,000 in spend, then our fee goes up to this. Is knowing that kind of stuff really critical before you get to the proposal phase or not? Like that, do you see where I'm going with that? Like how do you, I guess, productize your entire agency so that this is a smoother process?
Well, that hits one of the things I'm most excited about, Tyler. And it comes down to this principle that I learned, I want to say halfway into my agency. I don't know who told me this, but I mean, I'd probably give them a hug and a check these days, maybe a decent size check. But the concept is productizing your offering. Okay. So many agencies, what they're doing is when they create a proposal, they're duplicating an old one and hoping they don't leave a name in there, right? Like, they're not giving it attention because they're doing it quickly. Or they're just writing things from scratch, but it's not really a targeted, accurate proposal for what your prospect actually needs. And so the idea of productizing is slowing down, and this doesn't mean all at once, but little by little, slowing down and creating a reusable line item for each of your offerings, okay? Productize your offerings. Define them in a way so that they're reusable, almost like you're grabbing them like a product that you take off the shelf. Okay?
Okay.
That doesn't mean you can't customize them. You should. You should customize it, like add these three line items. Maybe one is managing their advertising for Facebook. Maybe another one is cold email outreach. Customize them once you've added them to the proposal, but don't start from scratch every time. A simple line item with a few bullet points and some options can go a long way to you being clear on what you're offering.
Yeah, you gotta have a clear view on what you charge across the board. I think it's also equally important to know what you charge for the services and know the limits of those. For example, everything has to have limits, because in our marketing world, everything can creep. Like all agency right. owners that have been with, even had one client, know how well any of our service items can creep. Ads can creep by the client saying, okay, let's spend more. Well, we started spending $5,000 a month, and now we're managing $100,000 a month in spend for you, with way more different ad sets, with a ton different targeting, with right. New creative being introduced every week. So the scope, you know, tripled in size, right? With social media marketing, it could be, you know, we started with two channels. Now we just added Threads. Now we have a whole new Twitter strategy. Now we have, right? So even if you know your price for social media or for ads, those can, you need to have the outer limits. How many yep. posts per yep. week? How many channels are you going to post on? How much ad yep. spend are you going to cap it at before you are going to increase your prices? And if that stuff is not incorporated, then you don't truly know your product, and you're not going to serve yourself well, because the client will creep. The client will always creep. Like if they're going to yep. get, they can get away with it, why not? Right. So it's important to have that. And I imagine that Smart Pricing Table allows for that type of information to be included in the proposal process.
Yeah. What you're talking about is handles. Right? I okay. need handles to grab onto. Yeah. I need to put a fence around my work, right? For this offering, what's included, what's excluded, and then are there any limitations or upsell opportunities? And of course, all that is very easy to do in Smart Pricing Table. And one of the things that this reminds me of, Tyler, is I genuinely loved running my agency, 12-year run. And I would talk to, you know, we were really big about not bad mouthing clients. It's a big temptation, right? But we're really, really big on that. And I would often talk to other agency owners, and I just got this sense that some agency owners just hated it because of things like this, right? I'm getting paid garbage. And what I kind of realized is, like, it's not that you have bad clients. It's that you have a bad process, and a good process fixes the bad clients, or it repels them from coming in the future, right? If you're not clear and your client ends up paying you a very low wage, is that really their fault?
Right.
Right. No. Right. When I sold my agency, I had about 5 hours of required work per week. And most of that was financial related. I just didn't want to delegate it. And I loved it till the very end. We were one of the highest rated agencies on Clutch, still very high up there. I was in the top two or three spot for years,
wow.
nationwide. It's actually worldwide, their web design agency page. But anyways, little rabbit trail there. Okay, bringing this back, if it's okay with you, Tyler, can we do like a sample of maybe a social media management and how you could outline that?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Okay. So productizing a social media management offering. So let's say that you're going to, you offer people's, or you manage Facebook pages for your customers. Okay. So here's how this would look like. You open up Word and you're getting your thoughts down, And I like to start a line item or an offering with a summary sentence or two. Okay. Don't be overly descriptive. The goal is to establish the spirit of the work, not like every tiny detail. You're going to rub your customer wrong that way. So you start with a summary sentence or two. Then what I like to do is say work included, and then a bulleted list. I like the bulleted list because as the agency owner, I enjoy breaking it down, right? That's a fun process. I'm thinking through my business. I'm investing in the future by getting clear. A bulleted list is easy for your prospect to understand and scan. And it's also easier for you to price things when you've broken things down, okay? Then I would put any limitations. I did a link post a while back called The Anatomy of a Good Line Item. So I'm basically covering that here. So limitations followed by potential upsells. So that's the framework. So imagine, you know, for social media management, you could say manage a Facebook page for customer and create posts monthly. Then you could say details or included work, and then your bulleted list. And you could say something like includes 5 posts per month, up to 1 hour of profile management, right? If something changed with Facebook and they need a new dimension for an image, or there's some settings that need to be adjusted, you've got some flexibility there to manage that for them. That's why they're paying you. They want to be hands off. And then maybe a few limiters like or some more details like you'll have 24 hours to review each posting before it goes out. And we will also post on one other social media channel for you. Same content. OK.
Yeah.
Limitations, you could say there's a maximum of 2 hours for each post creation plus revisions. I can't tell you how much a little limitation like that has saved my butt because I have something to grab onto. If maybe they have like 50 revisions or something, you like, if I don't have that,
right,
there's nothing.
Or they want you to create like this extravagant video and all of a sudden you're a video editor. Like,
right.
Yeah.
So that's a great scenario. And so you put some limitations, and then I like doing upsells. Now, you can only do upsells if your software supports that. And of course, Smart Pricing Table does, because we did this all the time. But you could have upsells like, and imagine underneath the line item, a checkbox that says manage comments or manage post comments and respond. Hmm. And it could say, we'll respond to up to 50 comments per month. And that's really important. You know, I was looking at getting social media management once, and I was talking to the guy and I said, what about comments? Because I know the algorithms really want you to, you know, interact with your audience. And if you're doing all the posts, but I'm having to do 30 comments, every week, like that's not a win for me. Right.
Yeah.
So that's an upsell to help them and get you more cash. Maybe you would have done it before for free.
Yeah.
Right. And then you could have another one that says maybe additional posts and then a selector for how many additional monthly posts they get. And there's a certain dollar amount, like 150. And then they choose a quantity. It automatically fills out the price for you. And then the idea is you save that to a library. And then you can add it to your next proposal just like that. Now you can always customize it, but you've slowed down and you've asked the question, when we say we're going to manage someone's Facebook page, what does that mean?
Right.
Very basic. Amazing how many agencies just haven't had the time to answer that question for their offering.
And if you don't set those guidelines, then it means whatever the client assumes it means. You know,
right.
I've been in a case before where, you know, the client, like I've worked with clients that will try and get away. I've worked with amazing clients. I've worked with terrible clients. Like I've had a full range. Right. And it's like on the more end of the terrible side, like they'll look for any way that they can to get something for free or extra, you know, and they'll go in and they'll find one piece of the they'll go in and find one piece of the the contract that needs to be, that maybe there's an error, and then they'll use that as leverage for this. So being really clear is just absolutely critical.
Yeah. Yeah. And adding on top of all of this, your projects are teaching you, they're showing you your blind spots. Okay.
Right.
So I'm okay with making a mistake. We did that at our agency all the time. I tell my team, it's okay to fail, right? But if we fail a second time, that's totally on us. And so for instance, maybe in this social media management setup, maybe originally you just would say, I'll respond to comments. You said that flippantly, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Will you respond to comments? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll do the comments for, that's really important for algorithms. Yeah, we'll do that. And they have this expectation that you're going to do it within an hour.
Yeah.
Right?
The time frame.
So you fail, and that's intuition, that there was something wrong in what was promised. So your proposal is just a plan. Think of it like a plan.
Yeah.
Something was wrong in the plan. So go back to your line item that's stored in a reusable library, hopefully, and add, manage, or respond to comments, and say, and even put in there, we'll respond within 1 to 2 hours, but we'll try to respond as quick as we can. May not exceed 50 per month. Additional is billed at 50 an hour with quarter increments, right? All of a sudden, that's not a bad customer anymore. You were just better and more clear. And that's a great customer because you can now bill hourly and they still like you.
Yeah, right? I've said this on so many episodes, that this theme, goes through. If you don't set the correct expectations from the beginning, it doesn't really matter if you get amazing results or not, because they were expecting something else, or if you didn't set the expectation, they created their own expectation. And if they don't know what's good and what is bad, then you can easily fall into bad. And the worst thing that happens is when an agency is performing very well, overperforming, exceeding all KPIs, right? Yeah. But the client has no idea what those KPIs should have been. So, let's say the KPI was $15 per lead, they're getting $10 per lead, and the agency is ecstatic, but the client is pissed off because they thought it should have been $5 a lead, because someone told them a few years ago that they got $5 leads, right? And so if you don't set those clear guidelines and expectations of what is to be expected on outcomes, then it doesn't matter what you do, they're going to be upset because they have, in many cases, they'll have a different, outlook. So setting the clear expectations and guidelines on your work product, like you're talking about, and the services, but also in the outcomes and what we're actually reaching for, is just absolutely critical, because you don't want to be in a place where you're doing really great and they don't think so, and having to explain that you are, because then you're coming, then at that point, now you're in a place of defense, and it's not a good place to be. So you could, like you said, you can create that perfect client from the beginning by just laying clear expectations of what your work product is going to be and what the results should be at the end of the day.
Yeah. And I'm sure you've heard of this, Tyler, but in many ways, your worst client is actually your best, right? Because that, I remember, looking at our sales contract and our proposals, and I would say to my team, new team members, when you look at our proposals, almost every piece of this is littered with a backstory of something that went horrible. but now it's this refined, super valuable asset, because this magical document weeds out problems. It weeds out unrealistic customers who just want vague and want to be able to control me, right? It solves so many issues, and ultimately, what I loved about it, Tyler, is it made a happy agency.
Yeah.
Are your employees frustrated? Are they irritable? Does some of it have to do with client expectation management, overpromising, not being clear, ambiguity? All of that comes back to your proposal. All of it.
Yeah. Now, okay, question on Smart Pricing Table. Is this a software that incorporates the contract as well, or is this separate from the contract? Is it proposal, then contract, or are they together?
Yeah. So Smart Pricing Table is interactive proposal software. Most of my customers are agencies. Online software. So you send them, you don't send them a PDF, you send them a link that, of course, has a PDF. But it can be all inclusive. And most of my customers will include, you know, a cover page, some biographical information, their scope of work, and then their terms. I hated, I always wanted to send my terms with my proposal because you guys know, your listeners know how this works. You know, everything's looking good. Okay, we'll send over our master services agreement. Lawyers get involved, and now we're a month out. And a month out means that, oh, actually, the prospect's friend has an agency, and we just lost the deal, right? Mm-hmm. So I like to send that out, make expectations clear from the very beginning.
That's a really good point, and it leads me to this question, which I'm really curious to find out how you approach this as being an expert in the proposal category. One thing that agency owners from the, you know, as long as I've been working in this industry have struggled with is clients that are like, this sounds great. I love it. I'm all in. The pricing is fine. Please just get me over the proposal and I'll share this with my team. And then we'll move forward. Right. So right. I've always told people you have to have that next call plan. First off, at that right. point, you need to have the next call plan. Okay, great. I'll get you the details over tonight, which would be, you know, either the proposal and contract or just the contract, whatever you're sending over. And then you need to have that next date plan so that it's on the books, it's in their calendar, it's in your calendar, and you have an action day to move forward. Don't ever pass the ball over to their court and let them decide to get back to you because right. they're easily going to let that ride for as long as they take. Yep. And then what has always frustrated me about proposals in the digital marketing space is clients, they use them like, they just, okay, let me get a proposal from them and them and them and them right. and them. They're like these, there's like these cool items that they get, and then they get to sit on their desk and compare them and think about them. And for the average agency, they're sending their proposal over and then nothing's happening. And then right. there's the move, you know, the movement grinds to a halt. So, you know, in many cases, I think it's critical to have, you know, an action item built into this process and a next date built into this process. Otherwise, they're just going to sit on it forever. So how do you suggest that agencies, you know, do this so that the proposal doesn't just collect dust at the end of the day?
Yeah. Well, this was another secret that we discovered and just a game changer for our close rate. So what we did, you probably heard of him, maybe some of your listeners, credit goes to Jason Swank for this. He's an agency coach, but the idea is a proposal review meeting. So here's how I've done this in the past. So let's say that you need a new website or something like that, Tyler. We would meet for 30 minutes and we'd have a sales discovery call. You'd download everything to me, okay? At the end of that call, I would say, well, Tyler, thanks for providing all that helpful insight. I feel like I have enough to create a proposal now. The next step in our process is to schedule a 20-minute proposal review meeting. I would then bring up my Calendly and I would book it right there. I don't ask you, Tyler, if you want it.
Yeah.
Because it's part of our process. And because I said it like that, it's magical. It's just like if I made like this diagram and of like this triangle with these 3 points on it and I called it something, it's magical all of a sudden. It's not my random thought. It's a framework, right? So when you say it's our process, what I found is that most customers will just go with that. If there's pushback, one of the things you have to ask is if this person is not willing to give me 20 minutes for a proposal that could take me an hour, how valuable am I to them? Right? How interested are they? How much of a competitor? They can kind of show their cards. But I'd say 90-95% of the time, they just go for it. To give an acronym to what you were talking about, FAMBAM. So from a meeting, book a meeting. Okay?
Yes.
How often? Every time.
Every time. Until the money is collected. Yeah. Until the money is collected and the contract is signed, FAMBAM. Yes. Every time.
FAMBAM. Or BAM FAM, book a meeting from, you can do it BAM or FAM, whichever way you want. Same idea. So then the attendance rate on this meeting, Tyler, is incredibly high because they don't get the proposal until afterwards. And they want to see it because they want to be able to compare it to other agencies, other vendors. And And so the attendance rate is great. It's awesome for you because you have the opportunity not to just give them a proposal, but now you can sell them on the proposal, sell them on the format, sell them on the approach. It's a plan after all, right?
Yeah.
Here's why I included this. You know, on this line item, I did put a little note here. What we mean by that, because we've had a lot of discussion, is this and this and this. By the way, I've included a few optional items. I know you're doing, you know, PPC with us. I'd love to do, we've found that pairing that with cold email outreach can be really valuable. And we can even integrate the same audiences. So I've included that under additional items for consideration, right?
Yep.
In the meeting, you can overcome objections. You can answer lots of questions and make it clear. And then if you're using interactive software like Smart Pricing Table, you can even click check boxes and get the price down, which cuts on so much back and forth. So that's the big idea. Now, Tyler, what do you think you do at the end of that meeting?
Yeah. So at the end of that meeting, they're going to say, this was so great. You know, I forgot to tell you, there is one other partner that we have on our business, and that we're going to have to show this to them. So we're going to show this to them next Tuesday, and then we'll shoot you back an email, Joe. Is that okay?
Yeah. Here's a question for you, Tyler. I love to be able to kind of answer some questions directly. Do you think we could book a meeting with me, you, and that other person? I don't mind repeating myself.
Yeah,
so that's one approach. Another option is, okay, that's great, Tyler. Or maybe you'd say no to that. I say, okay, why don't we do this? Just so you know, I have about 10 different projects right now that are getting really close. We don't have a, now you can be honest, right? Don't lie, but like let them know. I mean, agency life, it's sales is all about Tetris. And like if everyone's pausing and then all of a sudden everyone wants to go, it's like that's not gonna work, right? So you can say, like, you know, we've got three or four that are getting really close. I've only got one spot in July, and then we've got two openings in August. So why don't we do this? Could we schedule a quick 15-minute check-in on Tuesday? Maybe that you're meeting with them on Monday, kind of thing. Can we schedule a check-in on Tuesday? And I just like to hear any feedback and see what we can do to push the ball forward. Then bring up your Calendly and set it up.
Definitely.
Whenever one you thing can, try to get that meeting.
I love the FAMBAM. I'm gonna use that because that's a really, really good acronym. It's something that I've always mandated in my closers process. Like I've always said, don't get off the call unless you have a deal closed, a yes, a hard no, not a good fit, or a second call booked. I want one of those three options. Another call booked, a hard no, or a yes and money. No other form, because when you listen to sales calls, you'll oftentimes hear certain sales guys and sales girls, they, you know, okay, this is great. Yeah. And then the client's like, let me bring this to someone else. Let me do this other thing. And then I'll get back to you. Okay, great. Thanks. Bye. You never want to leave the call with them getting back to you. It's you who have to control the process. And what I find, another little area that a lot of people slip up at is they'll send their Calendly link to the client to book in. No. And I noticed how you said that you'd open your Calendly and put it in right there. Yeah. Verbally ask them, does next Tuesday at 4 p.m. work? Yeah, yes. That works. Is that other partner that wasn't on the call today that you surprised me with that you didn't say was an important person? Is he available at that time too? Because I would love to have him on that call so that I could answer his questions directly too. Yep. Yes, he is. Okay, great. Now then you literally fill out your own booking form with their information. So that it sends the calendar event to their calendar and your calendar, and the call is confirmed, fam bam done before you're off that call and you have that next step. Because without that next step, your chances of losing the deal jump dramatically.
Yeah.
And they can easily become a ghost. Now that's not guaranteeing that they're gonna show up to this next call, but it definitely having it in the calendar and having it, like you said, as a part of your process is really important to moving the deal forward. So I totally agree. The biggest problem, I think the biggest number one thing people miss when they deal with the proposals world is they send a proposal and that's it. It will collapse 9 times out of 10 if you do that, because there are people I call proposal collectors out there and they just collect them all day.
Yeah.
And they don't take, maybe they don't even take action on any of them, but you know, you don't want to spend your hard earned time and, you know, doing that just to sit on someone's desk and collect dust.
Yeah. And so many times we get frustrated and we think clients are so hard to deal with. And it's like, have you looked in the mirror, right? Like, you don't have a process. One of the best marketing advice I ever got was tell the customer what to do next. They don't freaking know. This is not their world. They don't do a PPC campaign every 2 weeks. They don't do a website every month, right? You do.
Right.
They don't understand. Make it really clear on what the next step is and how things operate. And you'll also, you'll stand above the crowd. So many, so many folks are vague. Proposals are wonky. They're not clear. And so doing a good job is a real distinction.
Definitely. So this is a more, I guess, broad question, but why do you think companies should invest more time and money into the proposal process? Do you think it's that big of a leverage point in growing the business?
Yeah, I think it's huge. I mean, so much that we literally created an in-house solution to make proposal writing easier. Now, the great thing is I took that solution to the market. Again, most of my customers, Tyler, are agencies. This is my world, my niche. I'm committed. But as far as like why agencies should invest, there's a handful. The first one I'll go over is shorter sales cycles, right? If you've already defined your catalog, and again, you don't have to do it all at once, but every proposal you write, create a new line item if it doesn't exist, then save it to the library. Okay. Then you've got five reusable line items. Okay. Then your next proposal, do two more because there's some absence there. And then eventually you get to 20, 30, and all of a sudden you realize, oh my goodness, we just create a proposal based on this template and it's tweaking. We were able to generate, you know, really expensive website proposals in generally about 30 to 40 minutes. But it comes together, your sales cycle goes better if you're not having to create every time. Instead of writing line items, you should think of grabbing puzzle pieces or Legos and just assembling. Now I can tweak, but that tweaking is going to take a fraction of the time as creating from scratch. I would say another thing is maintaining profitability. Like, don't underestimate how much money you have going out the door because of your being vague, because you don't have a good system. When you've got those handles to grab onto, when you've got the ability to go hourly because of a clear expectation, that can, you know this, Tyler, sometimes it's the simplest tweak in business that can make the most profound effect. The 1090, the 80-20, whatever, right? I remember just a pricing thing that just was a game changer for us. It took very little time, but it was a huge, huge win. Reducing scope creep, a lot less scope creep if you actually know what you're doing, a lot more client satisfaction. My agency, we had like 50 reviews on Clutch. Clutch requires you to get, they do like on the phone customer interviews, at least when we were doing it. And we're one of the highest rated agencies, almost a 5-star agency. And it's because of, I think so much was our proposal process. So the last one I'd say, because I don't want to undervalue this, your proposal is your plan. And your plan affects morale. And if things aren't going well because you failed to plan, the amount of consequences that you can have in your agency, people straight up leaving. The CEO doesn't care how much time we're putting into this and how much we're giving to the customer. They know, they might not have the P&Ls, but they know when it's like, okay, we're way over on this project, right?
Yeah.
The parent company, the container company for Smart Pricing Table is called Jovial Software. And I called it that because I think when you implement systems well, business can be a lot of fun. I genuinely enjoyed writing proposals. It did not bother me. It was an exciting part of our business. Anyways, all those are some ideas. I think there's so much improvement, so much more fun that you can have when you really figure this piece out.
Yeah, I totally agree. It solves a lot of a lot of issues. When you can set clear expectations on your service, when you can drive the conversation forward by making sure that they are, you know, fam, bam, love that. And then at ultimately making sure that you're generating more revenue by just getting more business in the door. Right. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're losing sales at that contract sending, proposal sending part, then it's clearly a major leverage point to grow the agency and something that any agency owner should really focus on.
Yeah. And a fun fact, this kind of blew my mind, Tyler, our software really implements a lot of these ideas or makes these ideas easy to focus on. I did some research a while back and found that our agency close rate on the system, so think clarity, upsells, interactivity, all those things playing together, 42% close won rate. Now, to be clear, that's extremely well. That's across all agencies on the platform. Almost one out of every two are won. I mean, that is just incredible. I mean, I remember sending out 10 proposals and maybe we'd only get two or three or something like that. So all this comes together. Revenue is perhaps one of the biggest impacts when you've got it clear, when you're sending signals that we've done this before, we've actually thought through this, our pricing makes sense. It can just absolutely help you crush it.
Maybe this is a live feature request because I don't actually know if Smart Pricing Table does this or not, but one tactic that we have used that in our sales processes has always helped us a lot is one thing that a lot of agency owners will go through is they will send the contract or send the proposal, it will collect dust, and then they won't ever hear from the person again. We call them a ghost. And one way that we've answered ghosts before is to cancel the pending proposal or cancel the outstanding contract. But it has to be done in a way that they get a notification that it has been canceled. And then all of a sudden, boom, instantly you get an email back. Oh, hey, because they just thought it was going to be an open invite forever. Even though you said, oh, you know, I only have one slot in July. I only have one. They just assume that you're just going to be there whenever, ready to go. And by canceling that, and it flips a switch in their mind. And if they get some type of notification that, hey, this has been canceled or this is expired, then all of a sudden, oh, you know, I'm just so sorry. I had my cat's brother's cousin's quinceanera that it was there, but I'm ready to move forward now. Oh, and then magically they come back. So I don't know if you guys have that option, but if you don't, I would like a cancel, cancel notification, and then an easy turn it back on would be awesome.
Yeah, I love it. If it's out for signature requests, then we have that already. Yeah. That's a great feature. I love one like 5-word emails for follow up. Just cut all the formalities. And one way to do that very simply is you could just say no longer interested. So you respond to the last email and you literally just say no longer interested? ?
Yep.
I can't tell you how many times that has woken things up and reactivated a prospect, because you're giving them permission to give a really quick response, to forget about the formalities as well, to give you a really quick response. And when you say it negatively, there's a psychological thing that goes on. There's a FOMO, like, oh, I'm busy, right? Okay, well, what do you think is realistic for timeline? Okay, great. And all of a sudden you're talking again.
Yep.
And maybe next time they ghost you, it's a little more obvious. Like, you were getting my emails, weren't you?
I love that. The one we've used, that's great. The one we've used is even shorter. Literally just their name and a question mark.
Yeah.
Joe? And you'd be shocked to see how many people respond. Oh, hey, sorry, my cat's brother's quinceanera. Like every time. It's just some random excuse. And then you're, like you said, you're back on and you're talking with them. Joe, this has been a super great conversation. I do have one last question for you that I ask all my podcast guests at the end of the episode. And that question is, what is your number one piece of advice for a brand new agency owner that is just starting out?
Yeah, I would say, I heard this quote recently. Everybody has goals. Everyone does. Winners have goals. Losers have goals. Systems are what help you achieve those goals, right? And I think proposals, fulfillment, marketing, finance, these are all systems that need attention. Proposals is one of those systems. And so you want to invest in it so that it will help you achieve your goals. It's not rocket science. It's just consistency and continuing to build. That'd be my number one piece of advice.
Consistency, continuing to build, and nailing your processes and systems. It's more important than you'd realize, especially when you're just starting out and you're like, you know, juggling all the balls yourself and you're just trying to figure it out. Documenting your processes as you start figuring them out is critical, and then just repeating. And something like Smart Pricing Table is going to enable you to make that process replicable and not like just duplicating a PDF and hoping and swapping out some words. So I think that could definitely be a huge benefit. Joe, again, thank you so much for being on the show. I think this conversation was super valuable.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, Tyler, one more thing I'll add to that. I have a free guide called The Profitable Proposal Blueprint. It's kind of high level, covers some of these things. I mean, I'd also extend to your audience. I love talking to agencies about proposals. I have a free demo that you can sign up and you can talk directly with me. If these concepts are interesting, I'd be happy to continue the conversation, show you how Smart Pricing Table could help with some of those. Love having a good conversation. Super thankful for being on the show. Thank you, Tyler.
That's going to be it for today's episode. If you're ready to take your agency to the next level and have your leads, your team, and your sales all done for you, then apply now at dfy-agency-program.com/scale. That's dfy-agency-program.com/scale. There will be a clickable link in the podcast show notes below. See you in the next episode of the Digital Marketing Agency Builders Podcast.